Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The buck stops here. Literally, they stopped in the fourth quarter. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we twist in the wind, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long here hanging out at the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well. We are back at it again. Our lead this hour coming from the NBA, but only one game. Only one game, so all you idiots that complain, you talk too much pro bouncy ball. What's wrong with you? Just chill out, relax, and calm down. A single playoff palooza. Head east, young man, we go. We talked about this game last night. The Milwaukee Bucks looking to take a 3-2 lead in their series against Brooklyn. Everything at the time we were here last indicated that that was a high probability. The gambling market indicated the public was all over the Bucks. At the time we left the airwaves, it appeared that James Harden and Kyrie Irving were not going to play in said game. Now, I don't know if you watched this or not. Maybe not. We watched it for you. Harden did play, kind of. Kyrie Irving did not. One guy that did play for sure, 100%, all of the game, was Kevin Durant. He scored 31 of his 49 points in the second half, and the Nets, with a counterinsurgency, paying off, and they get a six-point comeback win, and the Bucks stops late in that game. Game five of the Eastern semifinals. So the Slim Reaper, adding 17 rebounds, 10 assists. Back home, we called that a triple-double. He played all 48 minutes. And an act of godlike proportions, according to the NBA media. Brooklyn with the win, so they take a 3-2 series lead. The bad guys, the villains of the NBA, back on track. They did it with a wobbly, wobble, 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 James Harden. The beard playing like trash, and Kyrie Irving watching the game somewhere. What an emasculating night for Giannis Antetokounmpo. My God. His numbers weren't terrible, and if you didn't see the game, you'd say it's not his fault, but it was. And the Bucks, who led the majority of the game, the Nets led 2-0, and then the next lead after that, Bucks controlled the game from that point forward to the fourth quarter when Brooklyn got back on top. They could not leave Milwaukee at the finish line. They came up a wee bit short. So we have been overwhelmed in the hours since this game ended with a full sensory overload of Kevin Durant is this, that, and the other thing. I think he's a combination of Jesus, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, and a few others mixed together after that performance. So toss-up question. Let's discuss here. Was this a memorable Milwaukee meltdown or a heroic KD comeback win for the ages? Now, the scales of Maller Sports Radio Justice indicate that this is a strong lean towards memorable Milwaukee meltdown is where I'm going on this one. So I've got Vikings, Bitcoin, and generosity. And you might be wondering how those things all relate to this story. Don't worry, I will tell you. We'll put them all together. We'll make some Baba Ganoush. Make the Baba Ganoush. All right, calm down. Calm down, bring it home, Jerome. I'm going to make the Baba Ganoush. All right, so now we begin with the fact that the Bucks, they have to wear the shame belt. And you know the mantra that I've had. I've been in this radio game for a long time, and my belief has always been the better story is in the losing locker room almost all of the time. The Bucks, they got to wear the shame. Tail between the legs, right? The deer walks off the court with that performance. They built up not an insurmountable lead. Obviously, it wasn't insurmountable. The other team came back, but a big enough lead, and then made a hasty retreat after building up a 17-point advantage in a game that shifts the pendulum in your favor in the series. It was the last couple of minutes, gutless. It was low IQ basketball. It was bad shots. It was butterfingers. The Nets, now they started making some shots that they had been missing earlier in the game, and it's the perfect storm scenario, right? The Milwaukee Bucks became frazzled, and as the late, great Minnesota Viking coach, and he said this while he was coaching the Arizona Cardinals, Dennis Green, a man who I interviewed when I was in college radio, Dennis Green came in, he was coaching the Vikings, and he gave me his business card, and he said, Ben, if you ever need anything, give me a call. I never did. But he was very nice. Dennis Green, the famous quote, if you want to crown them, crown their asses. All right, remember that? It's great. But they are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Damn right. That should have been the Bucks. The outcome of the game was about Milwaukee's shortcomings, getting what we call a chronic case of tight tuchus syndrome. The moment was too big. Couldn't handle it. Flop sweat. Ball became a spicy meatball. It was like a weight ball as they were moving it around the court in the final seconds. Now, when you talk about the Bucks, the buck actually does stop at the doorstep of Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's the guy who gets the biggest slice of the blame pie. He gets the largest blame shame bell. Back-to-back MVP. There is a responsibility. There's a cachet. There's an expectation that comes with that accolade, getting it a couple of times, defensive honors. And essentially, it is you're so good, you're so loved, that in a game like this, which is there for the taking, your teammates have set you up, you've made plays, close it out. Close the door, lock the door. You didn't lock the door. You left the door open. Somebody came in and stole all the furniture. Bad job by you. Don't blow the game. It's inexcusable. Losing to the Nets without Kyrie Irving and a shell of James Harden is a mark on the resume of Giannis Antetokounmpo. It is an unforgivable sin. Of course, in basketball context, I mean, not in real life. Who the hell cares in real life? Now, the Greek Freak was the guy who forgot his Bitcoin password, right? Remember that story a couple months ago? The guy had $220 million in the bank, but he couldn't remember the Bitcoin password. That's essentially Giannis at the end of the game. Yeah, like $220 million. Nah, I can't remember the password. It's not my money. But it was your money. This was a golden opportunity, brass ring situation, and he fumbled it away, just like he fumbled the basketball away on a gimme for a dunk, set up by a teammate for a hammer dunk. He drops the ball. Misses some foul shots in the final seconds. Now, and you compound that with James Harden being not only a player, but useless. James Harden had a performance that was like Joel Embiid the other night for the Sixers. And Harden, was he going to play? It was a game-time decision. Certainly, the assumption is he was pressured into playing, that they needed him. He asked him to play even if he wasn't ready to go, and he went out and took 10 shots, made one of them. He made one more field goal than you made. Had 5 points, but one made field goal, 0 of 8 from three-point range. He loved that fallback three-point shot. He took 8 of them rather than try to go to the basket, and only 5 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. He essentially had a common man stat line. Played 45 minutes as a decoy. Joe Harris, I hear a lot of love for Joe Harris of the Nets. Another key cog for Brooklyn. He took 11 shots. He made 2 of them. That's it. 2 of 11. So you got nothing out of Harden. You got nothing out of Joe Harris. And still, the Bucks stumbled and bumbled the game away. Brooklyn outscoring the Nets. Brooklyn outscoring the Bucks, obviously. 71-49 in the second half. 71-49. And after Brook Lopez hit a money ball with 7:09 left on the clock, Milwaukee was up 17. They ended up getting poleaxed the rest of the game from that moment, 57-34. The Nets, to close the game, down 17, shot almost 70% the rest of the game, 68% over the final 19 minutes. Was anyone playing defense for the Bucks? And while, again, I'm going to go back to circle back to Giannis because his stat line looked passable to the low-information fan. The box score reader didn't see the game. 17 of his 34 points in the second half, but down the stretch, we mentioned it, the fumbled pass that would have been a dunk, the missed foul shot situation there, again, the yips at the line. And while he was out on the court in the second half, the Bucks outscored by the Nets by 24 points while he was out. They played most of the half, so that makes sense. And the moment, and they brought this up in the postgame, the moment where this was really embarrassing was when the Matador defender, James Harden, known for his ole, 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 ole style defense, when James Harden pushed off help defense and was able to force Giannis Antetokounmpo, a back-to-back MVP, to take a fall-away, weak, meek jump shot late in the game. James Harden, who defends, he's got about as good a movement defensively as a cow, right? Lateral movement as a cow. He was as big as a cow when he played for the Rockets. All right, last word here. So Kevin Durant is getting all the glory here, all the headlines. So one of these things that's a difference between radio and television. The TV people are lick, lick, suck, suck with Kevin Durant. It was a masterpiece. Right? It was great. I questioned when Durant got hurt with Golden State, would he ever have games like this again? The comps on players that had suffered an injury like Durant were not good. But on this night, it was masterpiece theater. It was. It was a humdinger of a finish. I mean, Durant, I mentioned the 57 points that the Nets put up to close the game in the final 19 minutes, but Durant had 31 of the 57. And as a one-man band, that would not have been enough if it had not been for the generosity of the Bucks. And now we're going to watch the New York media machine inflate Kevin Durant. And it's bubble bath, it's Manny Petty, it's the whole deal. Durant's God's gift to basketball, you're going to hear that nonstop. And they're going to completely put this at biblical proportions. Keep in mind, this was Game 5 of the Eastern Semifinals. Kevin Durant has played in dozens and dozens of bigger games than this. You say, well, this is the most dominant stat line game, and maybe that was true, but it's the Eastern Conference Semifinals, not the NBA Finals, not the Conference Finals. Let's keep some perspective on this, but the legend becomes the fact and the building up the myth, the mythology even more of Kevin Durant. And I would like to address the 48-minute deal, which got a lot of attention. Oh, my God, he played 48 minutes! Holy crap! Yeah. Am I a bad person? I'm not impressed. Does that make me a bad human being? Should I be like every other toe-sucking media member and be like, oh, I can't believe it? Listen, I like basketball. I watch these games. I get a lot of crap for it from people listening to the show. Like, what are you doing talking about basketball? What are you doing? I like it. But I'm not going to sit here and say that the game moves. You talk about baseball games dragging on. These NBA games are almost 3 hours, these playoff games. So playing 48 minutes in a game that takes almost 3 hours with endless stoppages for television timeouts, regular timeouts, foul shots. We had 42 free throw attempts in this game. That's a lot of downtime. Right? It's not like it's nonstop 48 continuous minutes. No, there's a lot of breaks. I'm thinking if you're a world-class professional athlete, you should be expected to play the entire game. I mean, this is like a strongman competition. I can't believe he played 48 minutes. And the reason that is because of the neurosis in the NBA where, you know, everything's load management and these players are convinced that they've figured out they can only play a certain number of minutes and all that. Now, as far as the series, all right, regardless of all that, it is premature to say now this series is over, just like if the Bucks had won. Now, the reason it's premature is the injury wild card, which is still alive and well, and that joker that can come out of the deck. Kevin Durant, does he have another one of those performances? Because it's likely going to take a carbon copy of that, assuming James Harden doesn't get any better. That is what it's going to take for Brooklyn, certainly to win in Wisconsin. And Milwaukee They can still win this series, but it's only on one condition, that the Brooklyn roster completely self-destructs. And they partially self-destructed. We've seen that, and that's not been enough. But James Harden looks like, instead of having some high-end basketball sneakers on, he's got concrete blocks. And Kyrie, from what I'm hearing, is not expected to play in this series. All right, we will hear from some of the key participants real quick. Mike Budenholzer, the head coach, the embattled head coach of the Bucks here, was giving a shoulder massage to the opposing star, Kevin Durant.
You think of everything. You kind of go through it. You see how the series has evolved, and special performance by him. Credit to him. You know, some tough shots. So, you know, we got to look at it, figure out, you know, getting better.
Got to get better. Got to get, yeah. Oh, my God. Keep trying. Get better. Yeah, okay. Here's more from Coach Budenholzer of the Bucks. It was brought up that Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a top flight, at least according to the trophy chest, a top flight defensive player, should guard Kevin Durant. Why not have Giannis guard KD? Well, here's Budenholzer on that possibility.
Tuck's kind of done a great job this year, this series. Again, you know, some of the looks he made are, you know, very tough. And I think Giannis's activity off the ball, Giannis in other spots, you know, is important to us. And at the end of the day, you know, Tuck, Chris, Drew, these guys are doing a, you know, fabulous job. And he still goes for 49. You give him credit. You know, I don't think it was easy. You know, he had to work for it. You know, we just got to figure out how to get to game six and win at home.
Wow. Okay. And that's a slice of why Mike Budenholzer, if the Bucks don't win this series, will be coaching the Orlando Magic or the Portland Trailblazers or the Dallas Mavericks or somebody else. All right, now let's go to Giannis. Giannis there. What an embarrassment, man. What? You wear the dunce cap if you're Giannis after this. You had a 17-point second-half lead, and the other team had one guy, and you're supposed to be as good as that other guy, and you crumbled in the final seconds. Here's Giannis, though, and he's saying, you know what, let me give you a kind of a head rub here, KD.
Obviously, one of the best scorers to ever play the game. It's tough. You know, like, he's the best player in the world right now, and we gotta beat him as a team. We gotta guard him as a team. We gotta make him make tough shots like tonight. We just gotta keep doing our job, and hopefully he's gonna miss.
All right, so I'm trying to keep track. I got my bingo card out. So a couple weeks ago, it was Luka Doncic was the best player, but now it's back to Kevin Durant. And then when the Clippers beat the Jazz, it'll be Kawhi.
My name is Luka.
Well, that was a couple weeks. That's an old take there. That Luka's God's gift to basketball. And then a month ago, it was LeBron James. That was LeBron. It was still LeBron. So it's like a kaleidoscope on who the top player is in the NBA.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's all about the publicity. That's why he spoke. Well, who's he? I'll tell you. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we bob and weave coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from deep inside the Magic Radio Box, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you. Our lead this hour comes from golf, but it's not really a golf story. It's more of a football story, camouflaged on the links. Aaron Rodgers. He is promoting the upcoming TV spectacle that he will take part in on the links. It's coming up here soon. And if you didn't see this, maybe you missed it, in a conversation that was moderated by Brian Anderson, who I believe is the Brewers television broadcaster. He does stuff at Turner. Brian Anderson over at Turner, and he had a round table, everyone in their own location, their own little box. Aaron Rodgers, he chatted with Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau to discuss the July 6th, which will be here before you know it, matchup, Rodgers and DeChambeau in a made-for-TV spectacle against Aaron Rodgers and Phil Mickelson. So that's, again, a rematch of the NFC Championship game. But on the golf course, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and they were joking around, having a wonderful time. Chuckle, 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 chuckle. And Brian Anderson pointing out that Rodgers seemed to be keeping a low profile in the offseason. Oh! And everyone laughs. Anyway, let's get to the meat of the matter here. And here is Aaron Rodgers in this love fest. Aaron Rodgers, was he sending a message? Let's go to the audio tape about his offseason.
It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about, where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Yeah. Of course, the reason he has that is because he hasn't shown up to his responsibilities. That's why he has.
Relax.
It was a mandatory mini camp. He didn't show up for it, so he was surfing in Hawaii. Now, listen, we know what the real story is. Boy, this is a Wisconsin-heavy show, man. I feel like I'm doing local talk in Milwaukee or Appleton. You know, I'm doing like local Wisconsin talk here. Last hour was mostly about the Bucks. Now
Who?
We're doing a Packer monologue with Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, listen, Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to the offseason workouts that he was supposed to be at. He's been having this back and forth through intermediaries with the management of the Packers. And while it is unknown whether or not Rodgers is willing to get fined some legitimate money and not show up to training camp when that begins in late July, we know that he is living the life of Riley, traveling around to Hawaii and to whatnot, different locations, tropical locations. So let us discuss. All right, the question here. Was Aaron Rodgers, in that soundbite that we played and some of the other soundbites we didn't play, was Aaron Rodgers sending a dog whistle to the Packers fans and the Packers in that interview? And I'm going to go yes on this. I am going to go yes on this. Now, I've got Larry David, garments, and toe. And how are those three things related? We'll put them all together, and we are going to make some pretzels. Stadium soft pretzel. Wonderful. Now, are you a cheese person or not a cheese person?
Man, make the barbecue noise, man.
We'll do that. Calm down, bring it home, Jerome. We'll do that later. Everything in its time. All right, so Larry David, garments in tote. Now, number one. All right, so for the untrained ear, that just sounds fine. I mean, there's nothing really outrageous about it. It's just Aaron Rodgers goofing around, playing grab ass. Right. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Now, that was it. But dig a little deeper. I have a trained ear. I have bad hearing because I've been in radio and I've been wearing headphones for a long time, but I can still decipher what's going on. You got to dig below the surface. There were some subliminal and some not so subliminal messages that were being sent. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were in cahoots. They were in cahoots. This had the vibe. Watched several clips here on social media. It had the vibe to me of Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm, my favorite show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Unconventional, loosely written outline with improv. And that's how it played out to my ear. That's what it sounded like. Like Tom Brady was working as the quarterback, setting up a bubble screen pass to Aaron Rodgers to get big chunk yardage. And they had a message. They wanted to get out, and they got it out. There was one exchange in particular that I thought was outstanding. Tom Brady said, "I do think you have a partner," Senator Rodgers. "I do think you have a partner that would like to go for it." He was talking to Bryson DeChambeau about Rodgers, rather. He says, "I do think you have a partner that would like to go for it a little more often than he has in the past, playing grab ass." Rodgers responded, "Well, I usually don't have the option." A swipe at the coach and the front office of the Packers. And then Tom Brady came back and said, I know the pain. Yeah, which was Brady interjecting and managing to take a pot shot at the Patriots. That was at Belichick and the Patriots. That was all in fun and all that. It's not like a war crime, but he was taking a shot at the Patriots when he said that. I know the pain, but not anymore because I hang out with Bruce Arians. No risk it, no biscuit. That's my new coach. No risk it, no biscuit. He's eating a lot of biscuits, so he knows Bruce Arians. Now, the second thing here, this latest chapter follows a carbon copy of what's been going on for months. We said, yes, we believe this is a dog whistle. Aaron Rodgers continues to be the passive-aggressive OG on the warpath. He's the old gangster, passive-aggressive style on the warpath. Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James are very similar in that respect. But this is about Aaron Rodgers. He's angry. He's resentful at the front office of the Packers. He's frustrated that he hasn't gotten what he wanted. But he mostly hides it publicly. He allows other people to speak for him. We mentioned there's middling people that are in between, go-betweens. He finds indirect ways, Rodgers, to show his true intentions. Now, what is my evidence that this interview was on that spectrum? Well, you didn't see it if you're hearing about it for the first time now, but I recommend you go look, and you should look at the garments. Look at the garments. Now, why is that? I'll tell you. Calm down. In his first public appearance since the Packer president, Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers, called Aaron Rodgers a, quote, complicated fella. What did Rodgers have on? Rodgers was wearing a black T-shirt with white writing that said, quote, I am offended. It said, I'm offended. Even our guy Blind Emmett, the Seahawk fan, could see and read the writing on that shirt because when you put the white on the black, it stands out, right? It's like yellow on black, white on, I mean, it's a combination. I know when I worked at the radio station in San Diego, the mic flags, the reporter, and their logo, they had a black mic flag with bright yellow, like gold. And man, that thing stood out. You could see that from the other side of the room. The reason taxi cabs, which aren't really a thing anymore, it's Uber mostly, but there are still taxi cabs in some cities like New York, for example, Manhattan. And the reason those are yellow is because there was a study done like 150 years ago that determined the human eye sees yellow from the furthest distance. That's a non sequitur. I just wanted to work that in. Anyway, so Rodgers had white writing, but it said, I'm offended. It was obviously a subtle shot at Mark Murphy, the CEO, president of the Packers. Might as well have been written in Braille. Might as well have been written in Braille. All right, final point. So Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood, sounded to me like he couldn't care less about playing in the NFL, and he had the tone of a guy who's contemplating retirement. That's what it sounded like to me. Right, running from responsibilities, living the good life. The way it came across was like, hey, this is a trial run. This is a trial. No, I realize he kicked in there at the end of it and said, you know, hey, while still being an NFL player, but still being an NFL player. That's not how it sounded, though. Aaron Rodgers sounded like a guy dipping his toe in the life after football waters and liking it, enjoying a nice Hawaiian luau on the beach there and hosting Jeopardy, traveling to the movie set where his future wife is making some terrible movie and doing that kind of thing, right? And so and seeing whether he can handle that and whether he's ready to take the plunge. So that's where I am on the latest episode as Aaron Rodgers turns.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's one right.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Like a trip to Casino Royale. Koopaloop.
So there's a rumor that surfaced on Monday that if Mike Budenholzer is fired from the Bucks, that Rick Carlisle would be interested in leaving Dallas for Milwaukee. Ben, would this be a good idea by Carlisle?
Well, after watching Giannis's performance, Carlisle's having second thoughts. The people around him. No, listen. Milwaukee is a good job, not a great job, but it's a good job because of the Greek Freak. He's flawed. He's a headliner. He's flawed. He doesn't have the killer instinct, it would appear, at the end of these games. Certainly didn't have that against Brooklyn in the game last night. But you have a chance to win a bunch of regular season games, and you've got a seat at the table in the playoffs with Giannis and the current Bucks roster. And that is a market that will let you breathe a little bit. It's certainly, you'd rather coach that team than like the Orlando Magic or the Indiana Pacers if you're looking for a gig. And I do believe that there is a legitimate shot here that Rick Carlisle does not return to the Mavericks. Now, Mark Cuban, when he heard about this situation, he downplayed it. But I've been hearing whispers that they're unhappy. The Mavericks, like, we've lost to the Clippers back-to-back years in the playoffs. We have the greatest player of all time, God's gift to basketball, Luka Doncic. What's up with that? So Mark Cuban, who's supposedly immensely loyal, if Carlisle is going to leave on his own, then Mark Cuban's off the hook. He can say, well, I tried to keep him, but he wanted to go somewhere else, and things had grown stale, and it's a win-win situation. Dallas can get some new blood as a coach for Luka, and Carlisle can go off as a coaching hobo somewhere else. All right, next!
Nick Caserio, GM of the Houston Texans, was talking to the media Monday when he was asked about the Deshaun Watson situation. He gave a lot of the same cookie-cutter responses until saying, as we get more information, this is a quote, by the way.
Oh, okay.
As we get closer to training camp, we'll try and make the best decision for the Houston Texans, whatever that entails. Ben, what decision do you think he's referring to?
Well, Caserio was trained under the Bill Belichick school of saying nothing. So it's not his call, Nick Caserio. Deshaun Watson, number one, is still working on the hush-hush settlement deal to get himself out of purgatory, full purgatory, in these civil lawsuits. Even if he gets that, there's been a lot of silence on the Deshaun Watson story as they're still talking. I've heard people tell me that they're still working on trying to get a deal done so this does not go to trial, because the trial would, the next court proceedings would be in February of 2022. But either way, Watson gets suspended by the NFL. There's no way around that, even if he's able to settle. So the second thing here, the Texans' actions speak louder than words. It's always the case. Actions speak louder than words. And as you mentioned, cookie cutter quote, generic boilerplate comments by Nick Caserio. The Texans have brought in a gaggle of quarterbacks. They are plugging holes as their boat sinks into the Gulf of Mexico at this particular point. Tyrod Taylor is your default starter for the Texans. That's why no one's buying tickets for the Texans, because they're like, wait a minute. All right, next!
Ben, the other day you talked about how the Phoenix Suns have been luckier than they have been great.
Great take by me, Coop, the other day. That was outstanding. Good monologue. Thank you.
How much of a difference do you think Jamal Murray would have made for the Nuggets in that series?
Yeah, so Jamal Murray, first of all, he played very well in the bubble last year, was impressed by Jamal Murray, and the guys, the Nuggets, and they beat Portland, so it sounds odd saying this, but the guys that they plugged in to the shoes of Jamal Murray, the main guy, they all fell into quicksand. But Aaron Gordon was supposed to pick up some of the heat once Murray went down, and from the Orlando Magic, and he played like a dog's lunch. He was very sloppy, inconsistent, doesn't look like a winning player, was a hot mess. We'll see if that's the case going forward, but not a good opening act as a postseason player for Aaron Gordon. The Jamal Murray of 2020, then the series is still going on. We're talking about a Suns-Nuggets game right now, because Jamal Murray was the yin to Nikola Jokic's yang in the postseason. And also keep in mind, Gary Harris Jr. made some big baskets against my Clippers he was also gonzo from this team. So, all right, there it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
I think I got to fail you, Ben.
Why would you fail me, Coop? There's no reason. I gave you full amount of time. I gave you plenty of opportunity. There was no rushing to beat the clock.
It's based on your answers.
What was wrong? Nothing.
Rick Carlisle would be stupid to leave Dallas. I would way rather start a team with Luka Doncic than Giannis Antetokounmpo at this point.
No. That's a bad take by you.
Nope.
Because while Mark Cuban... No, stop it. While Mark Cuban publicly is saying he wants Carlisle back, privately I hear different. So for Carlisle, if you're not popular with the owner behind the scenes, you'd be better off leaving if the boss doesn't like you. Get out of there.
Nothing.
No, I got to win.
Lose.
The people's champ. Right over here, the people's champ.
Nah. If that's the case, he waits until he gets the boot. Because then everybody, all the coaches will be like, oh, I can't believe that Dallas did Rick Carlisle
we'll do
dirty.
That anyway.
He's such a great coach.
Do that anytime a coach gets fired, they say that. That's how that works. No.
That's what I'm saying. So he would be dumb to leave on his own accord.
It's dumb to leave after all the jobs are filled and you can't get a job. That's what's dumb.
He should stay. He's got Luka.
Right, let's go out to the street right now. Ventura Boulevard, me and you. Kick your ass right now. Come on. What do you say? No one's awake out there. There's some bums out there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go. Password, the word game of the stars, made possible by Discover Card. We believe a better tomorrow is possible for everyone. Discover something brighter. Jacob from Japan says Marcel's food picks. He's starting to use the pump fake on the mix matches. The segment is an emotional roller coaster. It really is. It really is an emotional roller coaster. Anyway, we move on. We got Password, the word game of the stars. Let's play the game right now. Mason the Millennial in the Bay Area. Hello, Mason, quickly.
Hey, Ben, what's up?
All right, you're going to play Mason, and we have Johnny Wad. Hello, Johnny Wad.
How are you, pal? How are you?
Hanging out there? In Boston. Yes, we are alive and well, Johnny Wad. Well, but gentlemen, you're both on the air. It's Password. Mason, pick your partner.
Coop.
All right, Coop and Mason and Johnny Wad. Who would you like to partner up with?
Ben, we've always had a good connection. Let's go with that.
All right, we're going to win the game. There's no way we can lose to Mason the Millennial and Coop. Come on. Let's play the game. Mason, you were on first. Pick a number 1 to 10,
five.
Please. Number 5. Koopaloop, number 5.
All right, let's go with...
No proper names, Coop.
Right. Let's go with... Panini.
Bread.
Oh, God.
In your face. All right. Let's see. I think I can say this. You can say that. All right. Roberto said yes. He said yes.
No, wait.
Well, he said, I just asked him. He said yes.
What did you ask?
If I could say it. He said I could say it.
Now, what'd you say?
No. You can't say that.
All right. Let's see. Meat. He said bread. I say meat. Put them together.
So we're going with panini and meat?
Yeah. Come on!
Taco?
No!
Oh, my God!
I got it.
Hold on. Mason, hold on.
Sandwich.
Yeah!
I was denied my clue
you
that I was going to
give. You can't say PB&J?
I wasn't going to say PB&J. I was going to say P&J. I was going to say that. I should be allowed to say.
Oh, you lost, Ben.
It was a one game. It was terrible. One name game.